Please be seated. Please be seated. Thank you for waiting. We've got two cases remaining on the calendar this morning. Gemini Technologies versus Smith & Wesson.
May it please the court, my name is Kim Trout, representing Gemini Technologies Incorporated, the appellant herein. This court should reverse and remand based upon this court's binding existing precedent in Sun versus Advanced China Healthcare and Jones versus GNC. Gemini has, as directed by the court in Sun, pointed directly to both statute, Idaho Code Section 29-110, and confirmatory judicial decision, that of the T3 Enterprises case, both of which independently and undisputedly evidence Idaho's strong public policy, rendering the forum selection clause void and unenforceable under the court's ruling in Bremen.
Counsel, if we were hypothetically to agree with you that this case is controlled inter alia by Sun, what would the purpose of the remand be?
It would be solely for a traditional form nonconvenience analysis by the district court on what I assume will be a renewed motion to dismiss by Smith & Wesson. And that would be the path that would be followed in accordance with Bremen. And the clause would be neutralized or rendered unenforceable, as the court could have found in Sun, as the court found in Jones, as the court found in Doe 1, as the district court in California found in Alabasi. And as a result, what remains for the district court is to conduct a traditional analysis in accordance with the Bremen standard.
Would part of that analysis be recognition of the longstanding principle that with two parties of relatively equal bargaining ability, represented by counsel, sign an agreement that contains a forum selection clause?
I don't think so. And the reason is Bremen says an exception to enforcement is the strong state public policy of the state of the forum. And that exception stands today. Atlantic Marine did not neutralize or change that exception whatsoever. Footnote 5 in Atlantic Marine makes it very clear that Atlantic Marine only applies after there is a presumption of a valid and enforceable clause. Bremen sets the standard, and Bremen says the clause may be overridden by strong state public policy. And in this instance, just as this court said in Sun, we've done the something more. We have pointed to both the strong state public policy. 29-110 is incredibly strong. In fact, the court will note that in 2012, the legislature in Idaho amended 29-110 to incorporate all of the factors that were previously set forth in Idaho judicial decisions to strengthen 29-110 and reaffirm its standard as the policy of the state. And in this,
do you agree that this case would be different if it had been filed in the District of Delaware?
No. And the reason is enforcement in Delaware would have taken the same path under Bremen. In other words, it's an interesting note. Chancellor Strine, now Chief Justice Strine, in a case called Boilermakers versus Chevron, said that the court in Delaware will apply the Bremen analysis under any set of circumstances, and it's consistent with Idaho law, just like the T3 Enterprises case in which Idaho looked to the state of Texas. Texas said, we apply Bremen, and applying Bremen, the clause would become unenforceable. And so it's clear that across the board, Sun controls and Bremen remains the law of the land. And
under that, let me ask you this. It's obvious that Sun controls. I mean, it's a binding precedent of our court. What it means may be a different question, but it does say you look to the Bremen factors. I mean, I get all of that. I've got a different question. I'm looking at the Idaho statute 29-110, parent 1, and it reads oddly. It says, every stipulation or condition in a contract by which any party thereto is restricted from enforcing his rights under the contract in Idaho tribunals is void as against public policy of Idaho. Now, that's awfully broad. So let's imagine that I am, I don't know, Idaho citizen, and I enter into some sort of a consumer contract, and, or maybe, no, let's say I'm an Idaho corporation and I'm selling things. And there's some of that, I can't imagine that every contract to which there may be an Idaho party would be covered by this. Is that what this statute means?
I think it's exactly what the statute means, and it's what the Idaho Supreme Court said in T3 Enterprises and in its relationship to all of the prior Idaho decisions that have interpreted 29-110, and it's consistent with the legislature's amendment in 2012, Your Honor. The bottom line is, how do I say it in a slightly different way?
But that takes us to the point where any time an Idaho court would have personal and subject matter jurisdiction over a suit absent the foreign selection clause, no foreign selection clause can prevail over that. That's what that means then. That's your reading of it.
I believe no foreign selection clause can prevail because the statute says that the policy of the state makes such a clause void, not voidable. Yeah, not waivable.
No, I get that. Now, in this case, I mean, this is not a far-fetched sort of very tenuous connection to Idaho. I mean, it's an Idaho corporation that sold all of its assets. So I get that this, even if the outer boundaries of the statute may be a little odd or overextended, this one seems to be the core of any properly drafted statute. I get that, but I'm just having trouble. The statute strikes me as overly broad, but anyway, on the facts of this case, almost under any construction of it, it seems sensible as to what the statute means. Now, what it means under Bremen is a different question.
Well, I think it means exactly what Bremen intended it to mean. The hallmark of unreasonableness under Bremen's policy exception is the strength of the public policy of the forum. And as you've noted, Your Honor, our public policy is as strong as the Idaho legislature could make it. It's been reaffirmed by the court in T3, and as a result, it falls squarely within the Bremen analysis, and enforcement is unreasonable because of the strength of the forum's public policy. It's for those reasons I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
I have one question before you sit down, counsel.
Yes, sir.
And it follows on what my colleague Judge Bennett asked, and that is, does the application of advanced China healthcare mean that the forum selection clause in this contract is absolutely unenforceable?
I believe it is absolutely unenforceable. It doesn't,
as opposed to being relevant to the analysis of whether to apply it.
I think that the court could look at this as the court did in Jones and simply say that it is as important a factor as the clause itself, therefore it neutralizes the clause, and the court then proceeds to do the traditional forum nonconvenience analysis. Doesn't mean in every case the jurisdiction or venue, I should say, is going to remain in Idaho. The facts of the case may make the more material connection to some other venue, but in this case, I think it results in a neutralization or in a lack of enforcement of the clause in the absolute manner in which the district court exercised it, because Atlantic Marine simply doesn't apply. The presumption doesn't apply.
What was the basis for the magistrate judge to transfer the case to Minnesota?
I'm sorry? If there was a transfer, I believe she would have transferred it to Delaware, not Minnesota.
Because, okay, I may be wrong.
Oh,
we'll ask your opponent.
All right.
And let me ask the following: You're suggesting that we should remand for the district court to perform the analysis. Are there any factual things that need to be developed in the district court, or is this a pure question of law?
I think there are clearly factual items to be developed in a district court. Although on the record, the court could make the form nonconvenience analysis because all of the factors, private interest factors and public interest factors, have been developed by GEMTEC in the record below. And so this court could determine that Idaho is the appropriate forum based upon the closing occurring in Idaho, the Idaho gun industry being relevant, the applicable law in Idaho related to the contract and the earn-out provision. And therefore, I think the court could make that determination.
To say, well, it's fact-determinant, fact-dependent, all the facts relevant are in the record, there are going to be no more facts if we were to remand?
There would only be one additional fact, and that is the fact that the court identified in the forum selection clause doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist, yeah. Well, that's not a fact. That's a, well, maybe it's a fact, but that's easily ascertainable by reading books.
It is.
Counsel, I had one additional question. I mean, this was a motion to dismiss, correct?
Excuse me, yes, sir?
The case was decided on a motion to dismiss.
It was.
It was not a motion to transfer.
No, it was not a motion to transfer. It was a motion to dismiss on the basis of forum nonconvenience and the clause relying exclusively on the Atlantic Marine analysis.
Because the other alternative forms of state forum, you can't transfer. It's got to be a dismissal.
That's correct. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you've saved some time.
May it please the court, I am Jason Prince, representing the appellees in this case, which I'll refer to as collectively Smith and Wesson. The district court in this case correctly determined that GEMTEC failed to satisfy its heavy burden of demonstrating that the forum selection clause in this case is unenforceable based on extraordinary or exceptional circumstances. And in doing so, it did not try and dodge or sidestep Idaho Code Section 29-110. The district court took that issue head on and correctly determined that that statute is not and cannot be dispositive based on Supreme Court precedent.
Well, the district court made its decision without the, quote, benefit, close quote. Lower courts are not always inclined to treat it as a benefit, but without the benefit of our intervening decision in Advanced China Healthcare. So what's your response to saying, you know, wait a minute, the law is not as the district court thought it was?
So Advanced China Healthcare did not change the analysis that was in place at the time the district court addressed it. Nothing in Advanced China Healthcare indicates that state public policy is dispositive and categorically can trump a valid forum selection clause.
But does Advanced China Healthcare tell us that the Bremen analysis is the way to approach the question?
Yes, and...
And did the district court apply the Bremen analysis?
Yes, it did.
No, I don't think so.
So, to back up, so the district court determined... Now, I guess one key point is that although in this context we've been talking about Bremen as creating an exception for public policy purposes, but contextually, Bremen was the first step the Supreme Court took towards moving away from the long-held disfavor for forum selection clauses.
But counsel, Bremen says a contractual choice of forum clause should be held unenforceable if enforcement would contravene a strong public policy of the forum in which suit is brought, whether declared by statute or by judicial decision. Explain to me how that doesn't control, especially in light of Advanced China Healthcare quoting and relying on that exact provision in Bremen.
As did the Supreme Court in Stewart. So Stewart quoted and relied on Bremen, and in that case, they were dealing with Alabama's strong public policy against enforcing forum selection clauses. It was by judicial decision as opposed to statute, but the district court in Stewart determined that Alabama's state public policy trumped the foreign selection clause. It ultimately made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it determined that the Alabama District Court had erred, that this was a matter of federal law under 1404A and forum nonconvenience.
Yeah, but you see, that may be a relevant distinction. This is not a 1404 case. It can't be a transfer case because it's headed for a state court. So I'm not sure that Stewart tells us what the right answer is, because Stewart was a 1404 case.
Correct, but Atlantic Marine made expressly clear that the 1404A analysis is a codification of the forum nonconvenience doctrine, and that the analysis does not change when you're dealing with a forum nonconvenience issue where there is no transfer available. It's dismissal.
You know, I've taught civil procedure for almost 40 years, and it's very clear that 1404 is a codification of forum nonconvenience. But I think the court overstated the matter. I hate to sort of correct my betters on this. It has been long understood that 1404, even though the same factors go into it, the balancing in 1404 is different from the balancing in forum nonconvenience, and that's always been true, and I don't think the Supreme Court meant to tell us otherwise.
So on that, back to that Stewart point, if you're dealing with the 1404A context, and again, Atlantic Marine did say that it's the same analysis as forum nonconvenience.
I read it.
And in that case, and this is crucial because Atlantic Marine quotes Justice Kennedy's concurring opinion for the proposition that forum selection clauses should be given controlling weight in all but the most exceptional cases. And if you put that sentence in context and read...
The very reason for passing 1404 was that the analysis of forum nonconvenience was deemed by the Congress as unsatisfactory and permitting transfer or dismissal too infrequently. I mean, that's just right there. That's the reason 1404 was passed.
And to finish that thought, though, Justice Kennedy, in that concurring opinion, if you read the rest of the sentence that read up to what Atlantic Marine quoted, specifically addressed state public policy and said, though you give state public policy some weight, you have to look at the controlling interests of the federal courts in having forum selection clauses enforced, absent exceptional circumstances. So in that very case, the U.S. Supreme Court was addressing a public policy and made clear it's not dispositive. Now, to fast forward to Jones, which Gemtech concedes does not make Idaho state public policy dispositive. It says that on page 39 of its opening brief, that it readily concedes that point. Jones makes clear that state public policy is not dispositive, and that has not changed. In fact, post-Atlantic Marine, that state public policy cannot be said to be of equal weight to the forum selection clause, given that Atlantic Marine has significantly increased the strength of forum selection clauses by, for example, shifting the burden from the defendant to the plaintiff in order to establish that the forum selection clause validly agreed to, bargained between, in this case, sophisticated parties represented by counsel, that in those circumstances, it's now clear under Jones that it's not dispositive, and then post-Atlantic Marine, it's not even worth the same amount of weight that it had been previously. And so on Jones, one thing I'll note is that opposing counsel referenced the fact that there are some California cases that have looked at the relevant code or state public policy as being dispositive, one being Frango Grill, another one being Alabsi. It's key that in those cases, they cite to the section of Jones, which is on page 498, which is dealing with section 1406A. And in that context, the Jones court determined that for 1406A purposes, the state public policy would be dispositive. It then turned to the 1404A context and said, in this context, you have to weigh, and the forum selection clause still gets significant weight. And, of course, you do weigh the state public policy. But even under Jones, prior to Atlantic Marine, these types of state public policies were not dispositive.
Here's a different question that's kind of out of left field, but I intended it as a serious question. The forum selection clause at issue specifies a court that does not exist. How can we possibly enforce that? What if it had said, shall be brought only in the court of, I don't know, I'm a great Edmund Spencer fan of the Fairy Queen, in the court of the Fairy Queen? Is that enforceable? I mean, the court does not exist.
So in that context, the court of the Fairy Queen, it likely would not be enforceable, but that's far from what we have here as an initial matter.
Do you contend that the court named here exists?
No, we do not contend that, but it is clear.
You want us to rewrite it so that it says what you want it to say?
Well, first of all, if you read it in context, it's clear that they're talking about the Delaware state courts, and it's clear that the parties understood that because that issue, the issue you raise, Your Honor, was not raised until appeal. That was never brought up before the district court because it was clear to everyone that the intent was this is going to be litigated in Delaware state court unless, if you read the rest of the clause, it indicated that there were certain federal issues that we would be dealt with in federal court.
I see the savings.
So,
counsel, this question is probably neither here nor there, but we're clearly in a circuit where in deciding this issue, we have to apply federal law. There are circuits in which this question is decided by reference to a state rule of decision in a diversity case. Would that make any difference here if we were applying state law?
In my opinion, it would, in the sense that the parties also agreed and negotiated for a Delaware choice of law clause, and so we'd be dealing with Delaware law. And to get to Judge Hawkins' question to opposing counsel earlier, if this suit had been filed in Delaware, we would not have had the same result, because even under Bremen, you look to the public policy of the forum state, which, if we were in Delaware, would be Delaware's public policy. Delaware has a strong policy in favor of enforcing forum selection clauses, and so it would have upheld the forum selection clause, and we would be in Delaware. And that gets to the point of the concerns raised in Atlantic Marine about gamesmanship and forum shopping that will be encouraged if Idaho's public policy or Oklahoma or North Carolina or Montana or any of the other states that have these blanket policies are allowed to trump and be dispositive in every instance.
Any of the others, how many are there? I think you just named them all.
I believe that opposing counsel cited five in that brief, and those are just the blanket policy states. And you'll note from the various case law that's cited in our briefs, California has a host of subject matter specific policies like that, as does Louisiana, as do numerous other states. So as to blanket policies where, as Judge Windmill noted in the Wada Farms case, it would turn Atlantic Marine on its head because it would be routine to refuse to enforce a forum selection clause rather than exceptional. That just simply can't be what was contemplated by Atlantic Marine. But that gamesmanship and forum shopping is a genuine concern, because what you'll see is parties are going to actively start looking for opportunities to file in courts or in states where there is a public policy that they feel like they can have a strategic advantage. And then they get the concomitant state law advantages and the state law benefits that Atlantic Marine said you're not entitled to. If you negotiate a valid forum selection clause, you don't get that plaintiff's venue privilege. And essentially what Gemtech is asking for is a return to the plaintiff's venue privilege, only a privilege that would be bulletproof if you're in Idaho. And that's simply not what Atlantic Marine contemplated. It's not what Stewart contemplated. It's not what Bremen contemplated. And for that reason, the district court did not abuse its discretion. Now, I'd like to touch briefly on the point that was suggested that if you move beyond 29-110, that there was something more to support deeming the forum selection clause invalid. And that simply isn't the case. As Judge Dale noted in her opinion, they pointed to nothing more than 29-110. And in part, that's because although Gemtech filed a declaration of Gemtech CEO, if you review their brief in the district court, not only did they fail to cite two paragraphs in that declaration, they did not even reference that declaration in their brief. So whatever evidence was in that declaration was never properly before the court. And on top of that, even if it was before the court, it's clear that several of those supposed pieces of evidence in support of their position are private interest factors. So the fact that Gemtech is a native Idaho business, or that Smith & Wesson is registered to do business in Idaho, those are private interest factors, as Boston Telecommunications, the Ninth Circuit case, made clear. Gemtech supposedly received and finalized the APA in Idaho. Well, that statement, if you look at the declaration of Mr. Martinez, is nowhere to be found. And on top of that, that is just a byproduct of the fact that Gemtech was located in Idaho and is an Idaho resident. It also states in the briefing, Gemtech does, that subsequent asset transfers all took place in Idaho. That's the same thing. That's a byproduct of the fact that they are an Idaho resident and based there. And I couldn't find a statement in the Martinez Declaration indicating that all of the asset transfers took place in Idaho. The impact of the case will be felt almost exclusively in Idaho. Not true. I mean, one thing that Gemtech says repeatedly is they suggest that Smith & Wesson is just registered to do business in Delaware. They are a Delaware corporation formed in Delaware. They're a Delaware citizen, and Delaware has a strong interest in protecting the interests and the rights of its citizens. And the reason, one of the reasons the parties undoubtedly chose Delaware law is that Delaware courts have a well-known expertise in corporate law matters, such as this asset purchase agreement and the dispute arising out of it.
Can I interrupt for just a moment? The paragraph that contains the form selection clause at the beginning of the paragraph specifies that Delaware law shall apply. Now, that makes it a little different from a sort of a bare form selection clause that just says this is to be tried in the court of Delaware. I'll ignore for a moment the fact that the court doesn't exist. Have you argued that the choice of Delaware law tells us that there's been a choice, specific choice, to avoid Idaho law with respect to forum selection clause?
I think that that is a fair reading, and we have asserted in our briefing that there's the E.J. Gallo case within the Ninth Circuit that does suggest that you look at the party's choice of law clause as part of the analysis of the forum selection clause enforceability.
No, I understand. Well, you do that certainly in terms of forum nonconvenience, but my question is a little different from that.
I guess I'm not following the question. Then, if you could,
when you say Delaware law shall apply, does that include Delaware law with respect to forum selection?
I again think that that would be a fair reading of the forum selection clause that the parties contemplated.
No, I'm asking you, did you make that argument?
Yes, that is in the briefing. Now, I think because the parties clearly contemplated Delaware law and the Delaware court's expertise, and the fact that they specifically said we want to litigate in Delaware. The other important note is that Smith & Wesson is actually their principal place of business is in Massachusetts, the same with their parent entity, American Outdoor Brands. So this isn't an instance where they negotiated for a provision that would give them, quote-unquote, home court advantage. There was a negotiation for a provision that provided for Delaware's substantive law. So in answer to your question, I do think that is relevant. So in the last few moments that I have here,
well, just... Actually, you don't have any more, but we'll give you a minute, a few moments to sum up.
Okay.
You're in the red.
Okay, I'm sorry. Got it. All right. So just in summary, if you look at the public interest factors and the enforceability under Atlantic Marine, it's clear that they haven't satisfied their heavy burden, and there's no abuse of discretion here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Fletcher, you're absolutely right. This court should not blue pencil the agreement for the benefit of Smith & Wesson. More importantly, I believe...
But what point is that directed to? The court doesn't exist?
Yes.
Oh. But that was raised awfully late.
But it was. There's no question about that. Still valid, however, under the circumstances. But more importantly, the court's holding in Sun controls here, and we have done precisely what the court in Sun asked us to do and what the court recognized from Bremen is appropriate to do. I think it's really important to also address one final note, and that is the Albasi court actually dismembers the analysis that I think Smith & Wesson raises for the first time today. I don't think they made that choice of law argument. What they argued was Gallo. And Gallo is a disjoinder in this circumstance because Gallo was decided based, Judge, as you know, on the anti-injunction statute and the conflict in anti-injunction versus choice of law. And it relied heavily on the Seattle Totems case, which has a different set of rules that are not applicable here. And so I don't think Gallo applies at all. And as the court said in Albasi, choice of law analysis is irrelevant to determining if the enforcement of a form selection clause contravenes a strong public policy, citing Rowan versus Soundview Communications. That's in footnote one of the Albasti decision. I think that's the rule in this circuit. So under this set of circumstances, I think the controlling rule is Sun, and as such, Gemtech has complied with the requirements. The court didn't conduct that analysis below. They simply took what I will call the sound bites from Atlantic Marine and didn't do a Bremen analysis whatsoever. For those reasons, we respectfully ask the court to reverse and remand.
Okay. Thank both sides for good arguments. Gemini Technologies versus Smith & Wesson now submitted. The last case this morning, English versus Apple Inc. Take your time. Do what you need to do. You asked for time to bring things up, of course.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Yeah.